As it is written in the Gospel of Luke, reading from chapter 2, verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy. It will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men, on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." This is the word of God.
Tonight, it's found in the Gospel of St. Luke, Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, and from verse 26 to verse 38, where the birth of Jesus is foretold by the angels. I thought that I'm coming to this very posh church after the dry cleaning church up in Pietermaritzburg. I better have a haircut. So I went and had a haircut specially for Vernon on Friday to make myself respectable for you. And what surprised me when I was having a haircut was that the lady we as a family all go to on over the time had a newspaper from England. Her sons are living there. And I was quite taken with the front page of this newspaper. I think it was called the Daily Express. And right across the front page, Jesus Christ is to be erased from history. That there was this movement that is propounded by a couple of people from other religions to have the name of Jesus taken out of history because they deny his existence and the very real part that he has played in history. Do you know what? As hard as they will try, that will never happen. The whole world is governed by Jesus. History is determined by what happened before Jesus came and what happened after Jesus came. The most important event, the greatest miracle that this world will ever experience is when God became a man in Jesus. And this evening I want you to come with me as we go over those familiar words where the angels tell Mary what is going to happen. I may remind you, friends, with this phrase that you are going to see in these verses, the very genius of Christianity. And in a sense, you will find that the rest of the New Testament is only a development of what the angels said to Mary so long ago. So let's read together what they said. What was the message? Luke chapter 1 and from verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. What I want you to notice, friends, tonight, as we launch our Christmas program with you, is three things. I want you to notice the message of Christmas. Then secondly, I want you to notice the miracle of Christmas. And then thirdly, the ministry of Christmas. Just those three simple thoughts. The message, the miracle, and the ministry of Christmas. So first of all then, let's go through it together. What is the message that you and I are sharing with our world today? A world that is very lost. A world that is filled with lonely people. A world where values have got totally mixed up. A world that is without God. What is this wonderful, wonderful message that God has given to us to share with this world? Well, the angel tells us. He says to Mary these words. Rejoice, he says to her. You are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Two things summarize the message of Christmas. The first thing is, he tells us of the grace of God. The grace of God. That phrase in verse 28, which says you are highly favored of the Lord, literally means you are much graced by God. It is translated in the letter of Paul to the Ephesians in chapter 1 and verse 6 as you have been accepted in the beloved. And friends, in the normal Greek way of greeting, this was a familiar way to do it. You see, what the angels were reminding Mary of, and you and I tonight, is this, that the real heart of our message is grace. The unmerited favor of God. And what grace. What grace that you and I with our world were on that broad road and we were heading for hell, all of us, lost, without God, when God's grace moved. When God took the initiative. And in the councils of eternity, God's grace sent His Son. Jesus was sent for you and me because God is a God of grace. John's Gospel puts it like this. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory of the one and only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Grace is God's goodness. Grace is the mercy of God that reaches down into our lives. And that's what we share with our world today. It was grace that chose Mary to be the instrument of bringing Christ into our world. It is grace, my dear friend, that made you a Christian. It's grace that keeps you. It's grace that will take you into glory. The message of Christmas is a message of the grace of God as He reaches down to a lost world. Secondly, we learn in that message to the angels that the message of Christmas is about the peace of God. See verse 30. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." That's the second thing. Peace. I remember when I was finishing school, listening to the radio and reading the newspapers, and on occasions going to the movies because there was no television then, and seeing on the sport part of the movies, George Best. As a soccer player, he was phenomenal. Everybody was spellbound by his incredible gift as a footballer. But you know, the sad thing is right to the end, his search for peace. You can be a superstar, a multimillionaire. You can have everything that this world has got to offer. But you know what, my friends? Without Jesus, you've got no peace. And when you come across young people, moms and dads, older folks without peace, they're going to do anything that they can to get into bed at night with peace, to go to school and to go to varsity and to cope with the pressures of life, with all the ups and the downs, with peace. We are saying to Pine Town, we want to tell the Pavilion shoppers, we've got some wonderful news. In a world that has gone mad, you can have peace. Your sins can be washed away. Your guilt can be removed. You can enter into a personal, wonderful relationship with God. You can experience the grace and the peace that comes from God. And it's all found in Jesus. He brings the grace and the peace of God. I'm the new man here tonight. I know some of you, but maybe you've been a guest here this evening without God in your life. I've got some wonderful news for you, my dear friend. You can find God. You can know God in your life when you turn to Christ. That's the message. Grace. Peace. Secondly, let's have a look at the miracle. The miracle of Christmas. Two Sundays ago, I think it was, I had the joy once a quarter, I visit our rural churches in Kwakwa. And we were there with Mark Abrams and Jubulu Mazibuku, visiting those precious people. So we got back 5 or 6 on Sunday night, and something that we never ever have the opportunity of doing. I turned into carte blanche. I haven't done that for years. And I listened to the program on Benny Hinn. I found it very depressing and very, very sad to be, but that was me. And yeah, you have people, broken and shattered lives and broken bones and all sorts of things, promising healing. But nothing was happening. You see, the world thinks to stretch a leg or to heal somebody of cancer is a great thing. Well, in some ways it may be so. But you know what, friends? There will never, ever, ever be a greater miracle than Christmas. The greatest miracle this world has ever known occurred on that day when God became a man. When God was born from the body of Mary. Notice two things that the angel says to Mary about this great miracle. The first thing is the announcement of this miraculous birth. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Mary was going to be, in an amazing way, a tool of Almighty God. The Spirit was to come upon her. She was a virgin. And this virgin was going to give birth to the Son of God. She had never ever slept with a man through her life. She was a virgin, pure and spotless. And this lovely lady is told, the miracle of all miracles is going to happen. She was going to give birth to Jesus, the Son of God. And so that conception took place. I'm no doctor. I believe you need something like 46 chromosomes to take place for conception to occur. 23 from the man, 23 from the woman, in general terms. The incredible thing is, into this lady's body, God performed a miracle. God enabled Mary to conceive. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was conceived in the womb of Mary. It was a miracle. God had worked a miracle. Why was that so important? It was absolutely critical, wasn't it, to safeguard the fact that Jesus was going to be born sinless. And you and I are born into this world, my friends, we are born as sinners. We inherit original sin, but not Jesus. The virgin birth is not a debatable issue. It's not something that we think about or query or question. It is one of the fundamentals of our faith. No matter what liberal theologians tell us, we believe it. It's in the Word of God. The miraculous occurrence where Mary conceives and is going to give birth to Jesus. And so the incarnation, as is known, was a unique, miraculous act of God in bringing to birth the Savior, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. Secondly, there was not only the announcement of the miraculous birth, but the fulfillment of that birth. She is told in verse 37, nothing is impossible with God. And so we celebrate, my dear friends, during this time of Christmas, the message is the grace and the peace of God. The miracle of Christmas is that we are remembering the incarnation when God became a man, when Mary gave birth to the Son of God who came for us. The message, the miracle. Just lastly, number three, the ministry. Can we stop there? Oh, friends, it's impossible. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Oh, it's lovely to end on that note tonight. The message and the miracle of Christmas are the fundamental prelude to the ministry. Without the message and the miracle, there can be no ministry. But once you and I understand and even experience the message of Christmas in our own lives, and once we grasp the miraculous thing of Jesus being born, what does it do to you and me, friend? It sends us out into ministry. You know, some of you know, I had a wonderful dad. A wonderful, wonderful father. He was converted at 55. I had the joy of leading my dad to Jesus. But you know, before he became a Christian, he was a salesman. To this day, if you come into our lounge, we hope you will do so, you will find some of his trophies on Mary's piano. I want to tell you, folks, he won all the prizes for being the best salesman. He used to sell cash registers. He was brilliant. And you know what? He used to practice all his presentations on me. So I had to listen to my old dad trying to persuade me that I needed a national cash register. But you know what? I used to watch my dad. And he used to take me into a shop. He'd say to me, "Hey, worry. This is a Mickey Mouse shop, man." I'd say, "Hey, Dad, why do you say that?" He says, "Look at their rubbish cash register here." And you know what? He's been gone now for 20 odd years. He's in heaven with Jesus. But you know, to this day, I go into a shop, and I suppose you can't get it out of your blood. Eh? When I look at a cash register, I think, yes, this is a hopeless shop. I want to tell you, I don't know why you don't change to a national cash register. How can you have these other Mickey Mouse things? You see, he lived, he drank, he was persuaded, he was convinced. Whatever word you want to use, that he had the best. And that's why he succeeded. I'd like to think that that is a little picture of us. We ought to be so in love with Jesus. We ought to be so overcome with the fact that God has had grace on my life. That we have the peace of God. That we are following a Savior and the miracle of the Incarnation. It's impossible, my dear friends. It's impossible for us to just sit back and to enjoy this. What God says to the angel is, the message and the miracle now sends you out into ministry to tell others about Jesus Christ. Notice two things about the ministry, and then we're over. What do you notice, number one? The exaltation of the name of Jesus. Isn't that a lovely promise? Isn't that a wonderful promise? Verse 32, he will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. You and I need to know that it is our privilege and the greatest joy and honor in the world to commend our Savior to people. And if they voluntarily and readily accept Christ as their Lord, they will be welcomed into the family of God. But our Lord Jesus is the King. He's great. There is no one like Him. He has a name that is above every other name, doesn't He? At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Jesus rules our world. They may try and kill our ministers. They may try and kill the missionaries. They may try and burn the churches. But the greater the persecution, the more the church is going to grow. Wherever the name of Jesus goes, it's going to take root. The exaltation of Jesus is spoken about in the Bible. And we look forward to that, friends. We look forward to the day when He comes back. Do you know what? When Jesus comes back again, there's going to be somebody from every tribe, from every nation, from every language, from every people. They will all be there gathering around and praising the name of Jesus. Jesus is King. Jesus is the greater David. Jesus is exalted. People use Him as a swear word today. They have a bad shot in the squash court. Oh, Jesus. Terrible to hear that. See it on the movies? Blasphemy. I say to people, friend, be careful. Jesus Christ is King and Lord. And so the angels tell Mary about the exalting of His name, and secondly, about extending the fame of Jesus. Isn't that a lovely promise? His kingdom will never end. And I hope that you and I here at Christchurch Pine Tower may go to sleep tonight with that great thought burning in our hearts and our minds, that the kingdom of Jesus will never end. And you and I can have a part in that. And we are praying that in the days and years that lie ahead of us, we're going to have the great joy sometimes of bringing people up here to the front called of God and saying to us, I feel God is calling me to go as a missionary to Iraq, to Afghanistan, to Nepal, to Tibet, to these countries, going to bring the name of Jesus to a lost world. We want to be part of that. I hope that you and I are going to have great joy in hearing one another coming to us and say, you know, Warwick, an incredible thing happened to me at the office yesterday. So what was that, my friend? Do you know what? This guy came in. He was chatting to me about this new product he wants to sell. And I said to him, can I ask you a question? Yes, he says. And I asked him, what's your relationship with Jesus? I want to hear that. That's exciting. Some of our dear older brothers and sisters in the old age homes. You know, my mom lives in an old age home. I don't know what they think of my mother, but I think she's unbelievable. She has a passion for witnessing. I think every single mom, lady or man in that home has heard about Jesus. Where from? My mother. My mother phones me and she says, my darling boy, you know what mothers are like? I said, what's wrong now, Mom? She says, I want to tell you what happened today. I said, what happened? She said, no, don't worry. I told this person about Jesus. I said, Mom, that's wonderful. How did it go? He's prayed. I didn't respond. But that's great, isn't it? We want to be part of the extension of the name of Jesus across our world. It's of great, great concern to us. I know that all of us, the crime rate, the HIV/AIDS rate, the drop in moral standards, same-sex marriages, we can either say, oh, it's terrible. I say, what opportunities? What opportunities? This world needs Jesus. May Christchurch Pine Tower have an understanding of the message that Jesus came from heaven to save my life. He gave me grace. He's given me peace. Oh God, thank you for that. Now Jesus says, Warwick, go and tell people. May I ask just two questions in closing? Do you know Jesus, friend? Do you really, really know Him? You also come to that point where, if I may say that as I start with you on the 5th of May 1967, my last year at school, when me and my sister, we went forward at a meeting and surrendered our life to Jesus. And we meant that. I said, Lord Jesus, I want to give you my life. As unworthy as it is, with nothing, no great gifts, Lord Jesus, oh my friend, have you done that? Have you really come to experience His grace and His peace? Not, I want to invite you. I would love to help you. Come to the visitor's desk after and just say, I want to pray with Warwick. And we'll go and pray in this room here. I don't know what it's called, but behind this window. We'll pray. Just a minute. Ask Jesus to come into your life. He's come. My second question is, must speak to someone about Jesus. Wouldn't it be great on Sunday nights? We have all these empty chairs up here in the gallery full because you bring in your friends. That'd be wonderful. Now you and I, to our friends, our family, our neighbors, and bring them to know this Jesus who is full of grace and brings peace. Can we pray? What a great message, Lord, Christmas time brings to a world where there's so much negative news. Oh, this was wonderful. Please, Lord, send us out tomorrow into the malls, into the cricket clubs, into the boardrooms, into the old age homes, to tell them about a wonderful Lord. And we ask it all in the name of Jesus. And I pray now, Lord, that in your grace you will part us with your blessing tonight. And we pray that in some small way we may be a blessing to everyone we come into contact with, for Jesus' sake. Amen.